appreciate that so much. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to get back to a series of messages which deal with Christian friendship, a very important dynamic that's necessary in the lives of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you're turning, or you can look up here when we go to the scripture this morning. As we're turning today and as we're talking, one of the most, the most important thing that we need, not only in order to come to Christ, but to grow in Christ, is the revelation or the presence of Christ in our lives. I could not come to Christ by myself. The Father had to draw me. The Spirit had to convict me, not only of sin, but convince me of Jesus. And God had to build faith within me, to trust God, to put my faith in Jesus, to accept Christ as Savior. And I need that continued ministry in my life so I don't fall away from God. Because it's easy to make a commitment to Jesus and serve God, and then all of a sudden just kind of drift away from Jesus farther and farther away. And some people drift where they no longer have a relationship. It's not God's will. It's not God's plan. To get through difficult times and to grow in Christ, to become more like Jesus every day, we need that revelation. We need the presence of God in our lives, and we need the presence of God in our lives every way. We need, of course, to be students of the Word of God. The Word helps us to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And one of the essentials of a relationship with Jesus is faith, along with hope and love, according to 1 Corinthians 13. And so we need the Word. We need prayer. We need to spend time with Jesus. He is a person. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a person. That's what I love about the newer translations in the King James. Romans chapter 8 says the Spirit itself. It's not an it. He is not an it. He is not a thing. He is a person. The third person in the Trinity. Excuse me, this morning. Making up new theological terms. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We need that communion with God if we're going to grow and stay close to Jesus. But we also need one another. We can't live for Jesus or experience everything that God has for us without each other, because whether we realize it or not, one great revelation of Christ here in the earth, and you know, creation is as well, is the church, which is also known as the body of Christ. You and I, and in our different ways and things, and in our strengths, but also our weaknesses and our imperfections, we are reflecting Jesus. We are the hands and feet and the mouths of Jesus. In fact, how does both the book of Isaiah, but also the book of Romans, tell us that the gospel is spread? It's spread through the ministry of what? Preaching. And preaching doesn't come through inanimate objects. I guess it could come through a machine nowadays. Preaching comes from the lips, imperfect as they are, of a human being. It's the glory and the wonder and the splendor of God and His church. So we need one another. And I thank God. I thank God for everyone who's here today. And it's good to see you out. And it was truly exciting, not just to see you, just to feel God's presence as we were together, which we should expect when we come together. And, you know, and that's all well and good. We should do that. And we should expect God to move when we do that. But the extent of having a relationship with others in the body of Christ is more than just coming into a room together. In order for us to have what we need to have, in order to have not only that full revelation of Christ, but to have every means possible to become more like Jesus and to get through difficult times and to become a better witness for Christ is that we have friendships within the body. Now, I'm not saying we should have wholly exclusive friendships with just church people. You know, obviously, there are deep and personal relationships that we have that may not necessarily be in the church. And one, of course, would be our family members who maybe don't know Christ. I mean, we're not a cult. I'm not mentioning any cults today, but one mark of a cult is if you're part of our cult, they won't call themselves a cult, but if you're part of our cult, you can't fellowship with your family. In fact, family members, if they leave the cults, they disown them, and it's terrible. So, you know, we're to maintain we're to have close relationships with our family members, especially those family members who don't know Jesus. And there is nothing wrong. I think actually it's important that we have friendships with people who don't know Christ. And there's several reasons that I could share, just my own personal opinion. But number one, friendship evangelism is one of the best ways of making a friend with someone. And not just a friend, hey, we like to go fishing and let's hang out. You know, having a deep personal connection, it's the best way to win someone to Jesus long term. In fact, is that not what Power One is all about? Not just having a great night where people raise their hands, but to foster ongoing relationships between brothers and sisters in Jesus. And so we're to have those relationships. But within the body of Christ, it's important that we have deep spiritual relationships with other believers, because we need it and the body of Christ needs it. Our text this morning is from Proverbs 27, verse 6. And it reads this way: wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word this morning. Father, we thank you so much in Jesus' name for your goodness and for your grace, O God. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the word. We seek your power, Lord, and your anointing upon your word this morning. Thank you for the Father. We thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. God, as we talk about the importance of friendship, of relationship within the body, may you speak to our hearts. And may we be found, Lord, not only as people who have friends, spiritual friends, but also are worthy of godly friendship. We ask this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just recapping very briefly what we've talked about up to this point, this being the third message in this series. We talked about the nature of Christian friendship, what we're talking about. And again, we got to, you know, anytime we do something in Jesus, we really need to rethink what it means. And when I say rethink, whatever we had in the natural, when God calls us to do it God's way. Do it according to Scripture. And, you know, the world's way of thinking about a friend is, you know, someone I like who I can hang out with and do different things, and we enjoy each other's company. And there is nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But godly friendship is a much higher calling and is much deeper than that. And we read, I believe, John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And just to briefly synopsize what that verse means as far as Christian friendship, it's a friendship that is marked by sacrifice. It's another way we could put it, it's a friendship that's marked by intense love. Because really, you can't be a person of godly sacrifice unless you're a person of love. Amen? And we know this by looking at the friend of all who will receive him, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John tells us that God is love. And God demonstrated, he just didn't say, I am love. Love me because I am love. He demonstrated that love by giving himself as a sacrifice. For who? For those who were unlovely. And I'm this morning, I'm not just talking about those people who are her cursing him and mocking him and calling out for him to be crucified. I'm talking about me this morning. There's that old song, I think it was a John Starnes song. While he at least he sung it, I don't know if anyone else sang it. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. It was for the sin. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," it wasn't just for those few there. It was for all souls throughout all eternity, including you and me today, who would ever live. God, forgive them. I am laying down my life for them. And that is the friendship that God has called us to engage with, to engage in with one another. And we talked a little bit about what that means. It's of course, a sacrificial love. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all time, and a brother's born for adversity. So it's not only sacrificial, and sacrificial as far as you're there when they need you. But that verse also brings out the importance of consistency. If the friendships that we make in Christ, they're not to be of the fair weather type, where we're there when everything's going fine, but whenever something happens, we're nowhere to be found. And we talked about that, so we don't need to get back into that. But we also talked about how a friend is not only there in difficult times, a true godly friend, to be whatever help or support that they might be, but a true friend is also there rejoicing with their friend who is rejoicing, even though our lives at the time might be miserable. And what that shows, and what God desires in our friendships, is that they be absent from any jealousy or envy. I didn't mean to talk about it this morning, but I do want to interject that here. One of the things that we need to be aware of, because it is part of human nature, but it is a friendship killer within the body of Christ. And we can sometimes get jealous of one another. We can be jealous because someone is being used more by God, or at least we think they're being used. We can be jealous because, you know, they've had something good happen to them, and, you know, and right now things, you know, as we just mentioned, aren't going that good. We can be jealous of people because people look up to them more than they do us. I remember that happened to me when I was in high school, and my best friend, I hope he's not listening. I never told him. I remember my best friend, you know, everybody, because he was the pastor's son. So, you know, people give him cards and things, and I'd see them give him cards and things, and I got nothing. And they didn't mean anything, and people loved me there, don't get me wrong. I was going to say, how couldn't they? No, I'm just kidding. So I was a little different then than I am now. Envy and jealousy is a friendship. It will deprive you and another individual of how God would like to move in your life. But again, I'm just putting that in there. We also talked about how there should be no conflict between family and friends, and we can be faithful to both. And we also talked about how to insulate our family from feeling like we love people or friends more than we love them, and that's by not taking our family for granted. May God help us. May we never take our spouses, our children, our parents, our brothers or sisters for granted. May we always value and cherish them. They're very important in our lives. But this morning, I'd like to talk about choosing your friends wisely. We want to be friendly with everyone. We want to be friends with everyone. But we want to be very, very careful whom we make a deep spiritual connection with. And as we go along in the message, I'll explain what I mean by that. But let me say this first regarding the type of friendship that we're talking about in this series of messages. First off, we should be friends with everyone. And I think it's important not just for me, and I should not do it, I shouldn't do it because it's my job. I should do it because I'm a Christian man seeking to please God and love others. But we should seek to know one another and to know about one another, you know, at least about family, because we're to be praying for one another. We're to bear one another's burdens, especially the local church body, different things in that nature. But as far as this close friendship that we need to have in our lives, you can't have that close connection with everyone. And really, it's a human being can only have really that close, deep, personal connection with just a few people, and I'm not saying we have exclusive relationships, but what I'm talking about is that you and I, as people of God, trying to live for God and grow in God, we need to have someone that we can go to in times of sorrow, in times of difficulty, in times of joy, times where we need counsel. We need godly friendships, and we'll talk about the nature of this, to help us to grow in Jesus. I don't know everything going on in everybody's life. How could I? I wouldn't want to know everything that's going on. Accountability. There's only so many people that you can have that intimate contact with. And how we know that is based on Scripture, specifically the life of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Look at his life. Now, Jesus loved everybody. And he's a friend of mankind, but even more than that, he's a savior of mankind. But as he walked this earth, who was he the closest with? He loved everybody. He knew everybody. He ministered to everyone. But he was the closest to the 12. We see in the Scriptures, and as you read about the ministry of Jesus, when he'd teach, he would often teach in parables. And after the parables were done, people were like, not sure what he means by that. And then he would get with the 12. And he would describe to them, this is what this means. Like the sower and the seed, the seed's the word of God, and the bird is Satan, and so on. He'd explain it to them. And even within the 12, he had the three, Peter, James, and John. There was a time in the life of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the fulfillment of Scripture, I believe, that Jesus was glorified here on earth in his earthly ministry prior to his crucifixion. We call it the Transfiguration. He went up to the mount and he was glorified. He shone like the sun, and Moses and Elijah appeared with him. But only three disciples witnessed it, Peter, James, and John. The others did not. And what I'm not saying that we're to play favorites. I am talking about a nurturing relationship between an individual. We love everyone. We treat everyone the same. We understand there's a need for us to have a personal connection with someone if we are to grow. Let's talk about what we should look for. And initially, in fact, right up until about 9 o'clock this morning, this list that I'm going to share was a list that I said we need to look for in the people that we want to make this spiritual connection with. But in the course of sharing that, the message changed. And it's not only something that we should look for. It's something that we need to be. Because a friendship is only as strong as the weakest member of the friendship. In order for us to have a friendship the way that God wants us to do, we need to be a faithful friend. Let's talk about these qualities of friendship that are essential, that we need to have if we're to make a personal connection with another brother and sister in Christ. And may I say, and there are people who disagree with me, and that's okay because I disagree with them. Other than your spouse, if you're going to have a friendship with someone, make sure it's with someone of the same sex and not of the opposite sex. Because in making a deep spiritual connection, you don't want to give an opportunity for the enemy to come in and make that more either physically or emotionally. And let me tell you, there have been ministers who have been dismissed from their churches and from ministry, not because they made any physical contact with a member of the opposite sex, but they made an improper emotional relationship. We need to be wise. We need to protect ourselves. Proverbs 18:24 reads, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." We need to choose our friends wisely. And the first thing that we need to look for, as far as a quality in a friend, and also be, if we're going to have these friendships, is trustworthiness. Trustworthiness. Jesus shared with his disciples because he knew he could trust them, except for one. Think about the one. What did the one, albeit it was in the providence of God, not talking about Peter, James, or John, or Matthew, or Thaddeus, or Bartholomew, or I don't know the rest of the names this morning. Escape me. Should have wrote them down. But Judas. What happened in this person? It brought great harm, and I'm sure it brought great pain to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he knew it was all going to happen, it was all part of the plan of God, that Judas, his friend, would betray him. Let me tell you, a godly friendship When you have a godly friend, it's a friend that you can share anything. You know, I can come and share, you know, regarding, you know, my wife, or I'll go back to, you know, when I had cancer, and share I need healing, and that's all fine. But you know, and you know, you all know this. On the inside, you know, there's one thing you might be going on the outside, but that's not the only need. Whether it's a physical need or a financial need, or maybe, you know, a distressing family situation. There's also all the emotional and spiritual stuff that happened. I'm struggling because, I'm wrestling with doubt. I'm doubting God at this time. And you know, it's something that you might not feel free to broadcast to everyone because some people are just not mature enough in Christ to handle it. Or I'm facing temptation. You know, I'm struggling in this area. And you know, that's a big one. You know, there are secret sins that people keep to themselves, not because they want to keep doing them. It's because they're afraid to share with someone. Because if it gets out, people would lose their respect for them. That should never happen, because if you lose respect for someone because they're feeling temptation for sin, you might as well lose respect for yourself. Because no, none of us are any better in that area. But that's, no need to get off on that this morning. But you're sharing with them. You're pouring out your heart. And you don't want to do that with someone who's going to blab about it the next day. Or share with someone. And not only is that something that we should look for in the body of Christ, as far as when we make friends, someone who can keep a confidence. Let me tell you this. And I mean to be challenging this morning. We can't expect from people to be trustworthy if we're not trustworthy in and of ourselves. We get on, you know, not that people would do this, but we get right on Facebook. Guess what I just heard from so-and-so? We reap what we sow, and if we are trustworthy, and you know who's trustworthy, we'll be able to find a trustworthy friend. But it is critical. Trust is critical in a godly friendship, actually in any relationship. Secondly, of course, it's necessary if you want to have a good godly friend who's going to help you. And sometimes it's unpleasant, and this is what we're going to talk about when we come back from vacation. You want someone who isn't just kind of, and you know, I hate to speak down about some Christians, but some Christians are fad Christians. And what I mean by that, they're on the latest Christian fad that's out there, and they can quote this author and that author, who, you know, half of us never even heard of, and later on, and their works don't last any amount of time, but they can't quote you a simple scripture. There's a lot of garbage and weird theology out there, and if you open yourself up to that, it can really bring confusion, if not doubt and fear, into your life. As far as making a close person, and I know all of us know people who don't agree. Not everyone's going to agree eye to eye on every issue. In fact, me and my wife, we don't even agree on every theological issue. We have discussions sometimes. I know that never happens to you. No one agrees 100%, but for a good godly friend who will help you, who speak truthfully to you, not only truthfully as far as how things are, but truth as far as the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. We need to make friends with people who are grounded in Scripture, who know the Word of God. And let me give you an example. Not just a general example. If I hear something, I see, you know, in the internet, I hear a teaching. Believe it or not, there's some funky teachings that are on the internet. I can go to my friend and say, what do you think of this? This is what I heard. And if it's someone grounded in Scripture, I can be confident that I'm hearing good counsel. Either yes, yes, that is scriptural, or no, no, stay away from that. Once again, let me ask you, because friendship's a two-way street. Are you someone who is grounded in Scripture? Can people go to you and know that they're going to get good, sound, biblical advice and not some, I was going to say flaky fad that's out there, but not some fad movement that's out there that's just sowing division and confusion into the body of Christ and shipwrecking many souls. Thirdly, we want people who are mature. You, the person that you need to make a connection with is someone who is mature in Christ. You know, it's one thing to have a lot of head knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm all for head knowledge. But it's another thing to apply that knowledge in your life correctly. Amen. With wisdom. Amen. And, you know, here's a few foolish example, or an example of taking Scripture and using it foolishly. Can you imagine if we as a church were deciding to do something? Let's say we wanted to build out that way. Not sure if we're going to do it. So friends, next Saturday night I'm going to come because it's in Scripture with some sheepskin. And I'm going to put it out on the lawn. And if I come in the morning and the lawn is wet and the sheepskin is dry, we shall go do it. Foolishness. Not living wisely or not being mature as far as how they live for Christ. And you may ask this morning, well, how do I know if someone's mature? You know. You know that they are mature, especially if you're walking in the power and the presence of God. Your spirit just discerns. Not perfect maturity. We all got kid in us, thank God. But generally speaking, people who are growing in Christ, who are displaying the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, of gentleness, meekness, kindness, self-control. Grounded people. Flaky people. No, stay away from them. I was going to say, get behind me, Satan, there. Amen. Grounded people, growing people. But as we contemplate this, does this describe us? And I know we're not all perfect. And I know we're all kind of on in different places spiritually. And when I think of people who are more spiritual, a lot of times I find in my life, and there's some people kind of maintain kind of a spiritual infancy in their life. They don't grow at all. But I don't want to judge people either. There's some people who grow in matters of faith, but not so much righteousness. You know, there's different aspects of maturity. But in looking for someone to connect with, or being someone worthy to be connected with, are they a person who is mature in Christ? And I think the best and easiest way to determine that is to listen to someone's speech. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Fourthly, are they someone who lives in the fear of the Lord? For this type of relationship, a relationship where really you're opening up, you're being very vulnerable, you're opening up your soul. You need someone who lives and walks in the fear of the Lord. Now, how do we define what that is, or how do we determine if some, you know, and it's not just by coming to church, it's actually demonstrating what someone who lives in the fear of the Lord actually has in their heart, or what actually comes from their life because they live in the fear, the awe of the might and power of God, the holy respect of that being humility. Humility before God, but also humility before man. People can feign or fake humility towards God. You're being very, very pious when we come in, you know what I'm talking about. But here's how you can tell whether a person is truly humble or not. And that is living like Jesus, in that they demonstrate the same amount of respect to the pauper as they do the prince. You know, one thing about the church, one thing the church should be, is just a gathering together of all kinds of different individuals, all kinds of backgrounds and cultures, ethnicities, social status, coming together, loving one another, worshiping God together, and respecting one, because we realize we're all one in Christ. But a person who's not really living in the fear of the Lord hasn't quite got that yet. And so they're partial to certain people maybe who are like them, or who are smarter than other people, although I find wisdom in some of the most simplest people that I've known, great wisdom. So I'm trying not to speak. Or someone who's poor, someone who's, you know, sickly or something, or just, you know, and we're all a little quirky, but some who might be a little quirkier than others, you know, and I, that's not what Jesus would do. That's not a humble heart. In fact, I think that the biggest place that that's demonstrated is how believers treat children. As they are the humble person treats children as well as everyone equal respect and dignity. Because did not Jesus do that? He didn't say blind Bartimaeus, yes, I don't want him. Keep him away from me. Or the kids, keep them away. He called out to them. He spoke to them. He blessed them. He treated them just like he would anyone else. Let me tell you, there are many people, some people, I have no percentages. I don't think George Barna has done a poll. There are people in the body of Christ who are very frustrated because they can't make friends. And the reason that they can't make friends is not because of the people that they like to make friends with. It's because of that. They're not trustworthy. They're not growing in God. They're not taking, and I'm not talking about being friends and being part of, you know, a group or a fellowship or even going out. I'm talking about making a connection. People long for that. Christian people long for that. And they're not finding it because they're not showing themselves people worthy of that type of connection. Not being trustworthy. Not being grounded. Not growing in Jesus. I'm not saying we don't shun those. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about people who find difficulty in making a personal connection. Could it be this morning? I'm not judging anyone here. But could it be this morning the reason why there's a lack of meaningful friendships within the body of Christ is because there's a lack of people who are qualified, if I could use the term, to be friends? I'm going to end in just a few moments. I have another point that I do want to get across very quickly, and that is the two types of friendship that God has called us to, two that are essential and two that are necessary for the body of Christ. One is the peer friendship. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need, as far as friendships in the body of Christ, a connection with someone who's about the same place spiritually as we are. Have the same, you know, view or same respect of Scripture, same desire to grow, same passion for the kingdom of God. You need someone like that in your life because having that connection with someone like that spurs you on to be the person that God wants you to be. Let me tell you, as a kid, and I'm not just speaking, this isn't my own experience, this is probably your experience too, especially guys. Someone challenged us to a race or something, even though they were our friend, we didn't want to be outdone by them. I want to beat my friend. Maybe that's a little prideful, but when we have godly connections, friendships with people who are at least the same spiritual level, have the same passion and desire to know God and serve God, if not more, it spurs us on to good works. It also opens us up to greater wisdom and insight as far as God into our lives. You need that kind of friendship in your life. But secondly, there's the mentor friendship, where someone comes and makes a friendship with someone who is less mature in the faith than him. You know, today, what we think of and you know, in talking about friendship today, another word which we can and should use is the word discipleship. Because that's what we're talking about this morning, growing in Christ together. And the way that we grow Christ together in the biblical model is by friends or by someone mature in Christ making friendships with someone. And Brother Tom is more mature in Christ. He's been serving God for a long time. More mature in Christ, mentoring someone who is younger in Christ. Not necessarily age either. Think of in the Old Testament, you know, in the Old Testament, when a man of God felt that he was called to be a prophet, he didn't go to, and there was a school of the prophets, he didn't go to the school of the prophets for a 5-week class and then get a certificate saying, you're a prophet, go ahead. He sat at the feet, he washed the feet, he spent time in relationship with another prophet. And in the process of that relationship, the Lord, in addition to the anointing, in addition to the word, not the only thing, but it's an important thing, made, prime example, Elisha, a prophet who ministered in the power and strength of Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, Elisha, as the story goes, and it's a great passage to read, Elisha, as the story goes, asked for a double portion, and God, through him, God performed twice as many miracles than he did the prophet Elijah. And that wasn't just an Old Testament thing. Jesus, close, personal relationship with the disciples who are clearly less mature than he was spiritually. Paul and Timothy, the list goes on and on and on. There needs to be a willingness within those of us who are, and we're capable of having more than just one friend. I feel bad for you. Actually, I feel bad for that friend. We laugh, but there's a serious point in that. In fact, let me read a scripture that bears this point out. And Henry, if you'd make your way. Paul writes regarding this issue, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. In Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. King James says, teach, even though you have many teachers in Christ, you don't have anyone who have that fatherly relationship, that mentoring relationship, who connect with you on a personal level to help you become more like Jesus. Let me share with you in closing an example from my ministry. And this was when I was an assistant pastor. I was assistant pastor for 1 year back in Pennsylvania. And in the course of this year, an older gentleman, I was in my 20s, and he was, I believe, in his 60s at the time, and been a member for the church many years. During one service, gave his heart to the Lord, weeping. It was a beautiful moment. And after that service, the pastor comes up to me and says, "I want you on him like a cheap suit." And that was his exact words. And I'm a kid out of Bible school. So what me and Ralph proceeded to do, we began to meet every week together. And we had material that we went through. We had, you know, talked about what it means to be saved, you know, about healing, you know, all the different doctrinal things. But I also got to know about Ralph. Got to know about Ralph. Know his story. Got to know the issues that he was going through, where his brother was dying of cancer and didn't know Jesus, and it was breaking his heart. And his son was struggling with drugs, and it was breaking his heart. It was more than me just giving a class and giving him a certificate. It was becoming, and even though I was a young guy, me and him, difference in age and background, everything, we became friends. We shared, you know, burdens together. We laughed together. I could tell you a really funny story, but I won't. We're missing that in the body of Christ. And I think that's one reason. And it's a two-way street. People who are younger in Christ, I'm not necessarily saying younger in age, because younger people can mentor older as well as older younger. We have to be willing to be mentored, but also willing to mentor the biblical way by making that personal, spiritual connection. In closing, that's a big challenge. That is the wrong scripture. So, in closing, let me say this. That's a very, very scary challenge, because when you do that, you're taking a risk of putting your heart out there. And as well as you might know a person, that person may turn out to be a Judas. But Jesus was willing to make friends with the Judas. In fact, you know what Jesus called Judas when Judas kissed him in the Garden of Gethsemane? Friend. He called him friend. Camarade is the Latin word. He called him friend. He did, even though Judas turned on him, Jesus didn't turn on Judas. Let's not let fear or our inability to be a good friend keep us from this important, dynamic revelation of Christ, ministry of Christ, that we need and the body of Christ needs. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning and let's sing a chorus as we close out the sermon together?